Good morning and welcome to Thursday Morning Roundtable. My name is Sandra Barrett, and on behalf of University College of Syracuse University, it's my pleasure to welcome you here today on this first Thursday of spring in March. So thanks for being here. I know those of you on our email list heard this, but I do want to make mention of the fact that Dr. Frank Bersani, one of our long-time TMR members, passed away during this past week. You haven't seen him here for the past year or so. He hadn't been well, but before that, he had been a regular right up at this front table. right there. So I know that those of you who knew him will want to offer your condolences, and as our condolences go out to his family. But today we are going to be talking about the Political Leadership Institute. You'll recall that last week we had Mayor Myrick of Ithaca, who got involved in politics at the young age of 20 and then worked his way up to be mayor of Ithaca at the age of 24. So who knows where he will go. Next week we will be talking with the New York State Comptroller, Tom DiNapoli. And so there we have another viewpoint from a different part of the political spectrum. Today, though, to begin to introduce our panel, Joe Rossi, TMR member, and I'm just going to say political operative, is going to help me out. So thanks, Joe.
Good morning, everybody. This is a privilege for me to introduce the Central New York Political Leadership Institute. Is actually a suggestion I made as a potential speaker for Thursday Morning Roundtable. I participate on the advisory committee with those on the panel this morning. The essence of it that really spoke to me was it's a 10-week course, walking you through soup to nuts, the process of campaigning. The essence of it is you can attest there's a number of races locally where the campaigns are uncontested, where the incumbent runs uncontested. There's no dialogue about what's going on in the community, and I'm not just talking about mayor or county executive, I'm talking about school board races. And this class, speaking to my history with political campaigns, is phenomenal. So if you're interested in running for office, if you're interested in working on a campaign and you're curious about the process, there's nothing better. When I ran for state assembly in 2004, this program was not around. There was an equal program, and it was called Sitting at the Knee of Commissioner Ed Sesniak. And it was a great program. I didn't get a binder out of it like you get with this institute, or food on a weekly basis. He never fed me, now that you mention it. But this program is one of the best programs around. If it was around back then, I would have took full advantage of it, and I don't want to go on, because I'm anxious to hear from everyone. Ladies and gentlemen, the Central New York Political Leadership Institute.
Thank you, Joe. Do we need that? Or? My name's Kevin Tampone. I'm the chairman of the Central New York Political Leadership Institute Advisory Committee. I'm a reporter and an editor at the Central New York Business Journal as well. And we're going to do a brief overview of the Institute for you, and we also have a couple of our alums here who've taken the class the first year and last year. So they'll talk to you a little bit about their experiences, why they took the program, what they've done with the knowledge that they gained since, and what they got out of it. I'll introduce first off Michael Meath. Michael is a president at Strategic Communications LLC in Syracuse. He was the founding chairman of the Political Leadership Institute.
That means I'm old.
Present right at the start. You said it, not me. He was present right at the start. I wanted him to come in to give you just a little bit of history on how the program got started. He was there at some of the earliest conversations that got this program going. So I will let him do that. Michael?
Great. Thanks, Kevin. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Just very briefly, this program came about through a series of discussions from folks that were involved at both the Chamber of Commerce before it became Center State CEO and Leadership Greater Syracuse. And several of us had commented and talked about how the number of races, and Kevin, I think you've got some statistics later. I won't steal your thunder, but you're kind of amazed when you see the statistics of the uncontested races and just the kind of lack of growing apathy that or lack of interest that has occurred in the political system. Now, I've been a registered lobbyist for about 20 years, and I do work at the federal level as well in about six states, but I have no political ambition whatsoever. And as my wife reminds me, if I did, I probably would be squashed in a hurry. Nonetheless, what we felt is though something needed to occur. Now, about a dozen years ago, some of you might remember the Chamber of Commerce had a program to help prepare candidates. And they ran it for a couple of years, and it was pretty good, but it lost kind of its energy, and after that it ended. So when this group started, we weren't sure where it might go, but is this, Kevin, the fourth year?
This is the fourth year.
Fourth year.
Yep.
And I spent the last 2 weeks ago, I had two evening sessions with them. There are eight sessions and then kind of an opening and a closing session to create the 10 weeks. And the couple sessions that I still handle have to do with messaging, kind of building a platform message, as well as handling the media and how to face off with the media during a campaign or when maybe things are difficult.
Or work with the media.
Or work with the media. You could say that. You could say that. It's dealing with the media. In any event, I got to tell you, this year's class is, every class has been phenomenal, and you're going to hear about that from David and Lisa, but this year's class, from a diversity standpoint, from a seriousness standpoint, we've got people that have already been elected officials in this. We've got people that have run and lost. We've got people that are going to run this coming year. And it really kind of blew my mind on how every single year the level of seriousness is increasing. So that's a testament, I think, to what these guys are doing with this program. And it's Kevin and it's the advisory committee. I don't have anything to do with that anymore. The last thing I'll say is that this has been gaining interest statewide. Last year, we were invited to speak about this down at Cornell University at a statewide conference that was 40 below. You've heard of 40 below. You know, again, I'm a little outside of that age range. But there was this interest in this program, and so we had the chance to talk with folks from all over the state about this. And I believe this group, Kevin, correct me if I'm wrong, has said that all the materials that we develop will give to anybody. We're not trying to, have an empire here. So we'll provide all the materials, all the sessions, all the organization, and just give it away to anybody. I'll stop there. I think that's a good overview, and turn it back to you.
And I should mention our advisory committee. We have a few members up here. Joe, you heard from Pam, the executive director at LGS, one of our key sponsors, and Jeanette, who is at Rimsco now, right? Yeah. Has been working with us on this from the start, so I just wanted to acknowledge them. And Lee's here as well. Where's Lee? Lee's over there. Lee took the class last year, and he's helping out on our advisory committee this year as well. You weren't sitting with everybody else. That's why I forgot about you. I'm just going to give you our quick kind of elevator pitch on the program, talk to you a little bit first off about, as Michael was saying, some of the inspiration for this. We update these statistics regularly. They never seem to change very much. These are based on last fall's elections, so you can see them right there. They speak for themselves. And I wanted to mention, we're talking about uncontested races and how many of them are around out there, and I'm sure I don't need to tell any of you that. You look in the paper on the day after the election, and you can easily see who ran without any opposition, so it's no surprise. But we are not an anti-incumbent organization. This is not some kind of throw the bums out effort. That's not what we're about. We are just trying to generate more debate, more conversation. Everybody that's involved with this thinks that the more people who are involved in our process, the better. You get better debate, eventually, hopefully, you get better policy, better solutions. That's the idea. And in fact, incumbents, elected officials, current, former, have been extremely supportive of this effort. We have them come in to speak to our classes. The first opening program session that we have every year, we have a panel with three or four different elected officials to just talk to the class about their experiences, what they've been through on campaigns, how they decided to run, how they dealt with fundraising, how it affected their families. We really try to bring in not just the technical information, but also the personal aspect of it. What does this really mean if you're going to decide to do this? Whether it's, again, whether it's to run for office or work on a campaign, because we kind of address both audiences there. So there you see the stats, and like I said, they never really changed that much. And here's our mission. As I said, it's aimed both at people who are interested in running or volunteering or working on campaigns. I should say as well that we do get people, and we're perfectly thrilled to take folks like this through the program, who are just curious about the process. They just want to find out more about how campaigns work. And to me, that's great, because then if you have that knowledge, just as a voter, as a citizen, you can sit down and look at a campaign and look at what candidates are saying with a little bit more of a critical eye, and maybe make a better judgment when it comes time to go into the voting booth. So we're definitely aimed at people who want to use this knowledge, but we'll take anybody. Here you see an overview of our curriculum. As I said, we really try to give the class a mix of both the technical information that they need to do this. Michael was just talking to you about the sessions that he runs on working with the media, or facing off with the media, whatever you want to call it. And messaging. Some of the sessions are more technical than others. The finance and fundraising session is one of the things that I think, I know from talking to people who go through the course, it's one of the things that intimidates them for a lot of different reasons. Not only because of the sea of rules and regulations that are out there on filing deadlines and what you have to disclose and who you have to disclose and who you have to disclose it to and how you have to disclose it and all that stuff. If you're talking about a race at the local level, what you're really talking about is going to your Uncle Joe and your Aunt Noreen and saying, hey, do you have $50 to give me so I can print up some lawn signs? You know, you're not, if you're running a school board race or a town board race, you're hitting up your friends and family for money. And that can be an intimidating experience. And even if you get beyond that, you know, then you're making cold calls to donors. So it's that part of it, I think, intimidates a lot of people. So that session, we try to get the technical stuff. We also try to have the aspect of how do you really do this? You know, how do you get through those phone calls? How do you make those requests? Being on a team is another one that's less technical. That's all about building your campaign team and how do you put the people in place around you who are going to help you do this. Every campaign needs certain things, right? Obviously, you need a candidate, but you know, you need a campaign manager, you need a treasurer or a finance chairman, you need someone to handle your get out the vote stuff. And again, if we're talking about local campaigns, school board, town board, you know, you as the candidate are probably also the campaign manager and the finance chairman and, you know, the get out the vote guy. Or maybe if you're lucky enough, you know, you have your wife or your husband or, you know, a good friend who you can recruit. But, you know, it's not until you get a little bit higher up the food chain that you're talking to people like Joe. And also wanted to mention, this is probably a good place to do it, that our target for this program is people who are interested in local level races. A lot of this stuff we think can apply at any level, but we're looking for the people that are looking to get a foot in the door. Maybe they have thought of this, maybe they really are interested. As Michael was saying, we have people who are definitely doing this in the class. We have people who've done it already in the class this year. Lisa was one of those. She was already in office when she took the class. But you know, and it's really those local level races, like I said, school board, town board, village mayor, just because we think that that's where people are going to enter the process, right? If you're doing this for the first time, odds are you're not running for state assembly or state senate right off the bat. I mean, that happens, but that's probably not the path most people take into it. John DeFrancisco, for those of you that don't know this, his first race was for school board. So there's a perfect example. Mentioned some of our sponsors, Michael did. Our two most important ones would be Leadership Greater Syracuse and Center State CEO. They're our founding sponsors. LGS especially gives us a ton of back office support. They do a lot of the logistical and paper pushing for us that you know, we need to make a program like this run. So we're extremely thankful for that. And you can see our other sponsors from this year there. couldn't do it without them. We try to keep the price pretty reasonable. It's $100. Mainly that covers materials and food. The program goes from 6 to 8 every week during the week. So we feed everybody every week. So mainly that tuition goes to cover food costs and again, whatever materials are there. Runs around this time every year. We start up in early February and it ends around the end of March. And that's pretty much the time frame that we've been doing it the whole time. So that's enough talking from me for now. As I said, we have two of our alums here to talk about their experiences during the program. I'll introduce David Reed first. He took the program in its very first year in 2010 was our first year, and currently works with Focus Greater Syracuse, correct?
That
I
is
trouble
correct.
Sometimes keeping track of your various activities.
So. I wear many hats, and if I'm successful this November, I'll be wearing the robes of the town justice, because that's my declared candidacy, Town of Geddes. Once I've declared that, I cannot talk to you about money, though. This is a unique race, justices. Right.
So you're
different.
Looking for money right now, is that what you're saying?
I will neither admit nor deny. From my perspective, democracy means diversity, not dynasties. And if you've ever wanted to join a gym for the first time, how do you pick a gym? How do you go in and feel comfortable talking to the people about a gym? Same thing with becoming a political candidate. If you've never done it, if you haven't been part of that family that sits around at the dining room table every night telling you that they met with an elected official, that they had this, that they ran for office, how do you become comfortable with that? CNY Political Leadership Institute was just a phenomenal offering for me at the right time, because I had returned to Syracuse after having been gone for 15 years. I mean, you should know that I grew up here, so some people refer to me as a comebacker. I prefer prodigal son. I saw the rest of the world. I saw the traffic jams on New Jersey highways, and I said, you know, I like Syracuse attitude. I like the way things are here, and I came back, started my law practice, and said, how do I get involved and make a difference in the community besides just getting paid for something? I took the Citizens Academy course at Focus. That led me to actually becoming an employee of the company. I haven't yet bought it, but I do like it that much. And I took the CNY Political Leadership Institute course, where I then felt comfortable approaching my local party in the town of Geddes, Democratic side, and you know, at the national level, everything's extreme left and extreme right. On the local level, it's McDonald's versus Burger King. You have a personal preference that may be hard to describe why you like one side or the other, but you can find the side where you're comfortable, and I found the Democratic side. I joined the town of Geddes Democratic Committee, became a secretary, started to work on campaigns here locally, in part because I was comfortable that I wasn't going to really screw up anybody else's campaign by getting involved. I went through the PLI, I understood the bigger picture, I now got to put it into practice. And I met some really wonderful people. For the past couple years, most Thursdays, I've been sitting out there with you. And I had never aspired to be up here. But then that's also the way most people feel about politics. We're on the sidelines looking. We can complain all we want about the person holding the office and what they do, but nah, we're not the ones who are ever gonna run ourselves. Savante Myrick had a very unique background. When he was here last week, I don't know how many of you had the pleasure of hearing him. He didn't really talk about how he got involved in politics. So I did a little research, and there was an article done in the Post Standard several years ago, right after he won his election, that said as a college student at Cornell, he got involved with a program called REACH. REACH introduced him to local politicians. He then formed a young persons committee in Ithaca, which held election debate cycles for the mayoral election and others. He got to introduce other people. Someone who had run for office when he had been at Cornell was choosing not to run again and said, Savante, would you like to run for office? Savante was in college. He was going to run for city council. He won. When he chose to run as a graduate from Cornell for mayor, it was rather a logical progression, although on the outside we may look at it and go, how in the world does a 24-year-old decide that he's going to run for mayor of a city? He grew into that position. I'd like to see more opportunities for more people around here to do the same. Start with a small position, grow into it, have somebody who's supporting you. The way that happens is you get involved. So it's that first step, as hard as it might seem, that needs to be taken by many people in order to eliminate what we just see as an inequity, and that is unopposed races. And yes, it may be choosing between vanilla and vanilla bean ice cream when you have two candidates who are both sincerely interested in helping their community in the same fashion, but we should have that choice. And CNY Political Leadership Institute has helped me get involved, and I'll now turn it over to Lisa.
Yeah, Lisa Dell, current town clerk in Lysander, correct?
Yes.
And took the course just last year.
Last year. Loved it. I absolutely loved
Period.
It. Period. Absolutely loved it. I was a police officer for 21 years, and it was getting close to retirement because I wanted to. Because after being a police officer for 21 years, I learned that there's a reason why most law enforcement agencies have retirement after 20 years or 25. And I was looking for something where I still wanted to work in my community. I was a police officer in Baldwinsville, and there was an opportunity, and I've always loved politics, but as a law enforcement officer, you can't really get involved in politics. And there was an opportunity where there was a race for town clerk, and I saw an ad in our local Baldwinsville Messenger that the local Republican committee was interviewing for these positions, so I went and interviewed. And I was a registered Republican, and I was endorsed. And then it became very overwhelming because I had no clue how to run for office, be a candidate. And this was in 2009, and the course wasn't available then. Shortly after I was elected, I found out about the course, and I said, I am so taking it. I did have a couple of good mentors who took me by the hand, so to speak, and guided me through it. But coming from a law enforcement background, it's quasi-military. We have a lot of structure, a lot of training programs, and I'm a very organized person, and I don't wait till the last minute to do things. And it was very difficult just being led by two people, although they were great mentors, but it was hard. The PLI just gave that structure on how to run for office. I look at my binder shortly after I graduated, through all last year, through this year, especially this year because I'm up for re-election. I took a lot of notes. I learned so many valuable information. And it does provide that soup to nuts, that running for office campaigning 101 course that you would need. And although I'm an incumbent this year, I believe in this course, this is one of the biggest things I obtained from it, is if you listen to the wonderful instructors. And I was very passionate earlier with Mr. Meath because he gave us a tip in class that I immediately did, and it's just phenomenal how it's helped me as an elected official. If you learn, if you retain and go back and keep looking at what you learned as a current elected official and implement that, then you're being very responsive to your constituents and your residents, and you're working hard for them. You should work hard for them. You shouldn't be just running for office because you just want the title or the prestige. You should be working every day. And one thing I learned is, as soon as you're elected, that next day you're basically campaigning again. And when I say campaigning, you're working hard for the people who live in your town or city or country or Senate district. And that's what I got out of it, and I take all of that, and I look at it all the time, everything I learned, and I try to do everything that I was taught. So I do get reelected as an incumbent, and incumbents, and I think if you're doing your job, you're doing a great job, why not keep getting reelected? My personal opinion, I think Senator DeFrancisco is a great senator, and you know how many times he's been reelected as senator. You know, he does an excellent job, and then on the other side it is, of course, money that was mentioned, and you know, money kind of scares away other opponents, but I think they're working on changing financing laws and campaign contributions.
Well, thank you guys so much. It's always fun to, for me anyway, to hear people who've been through the course talk about it, because I'm amazed every year that we manage to put it together and that people actually sign up for it. So when people get something out of it, it's certainly thrilling for me. Just a couple things I'll say to wrap up, I guess, before we take questions. I can't stress enough that this is really about engagement and involvement. We are trying to get more people involved in our democracy. Like I said, we're not trying to throw anybody out of office. This is really about trying to help people take those first steps into the world of being a candidate. And, you know, we try as much as possible during the class sessions to keep the politics out of it. The people who take these classes, obviously, just by the nature of the fact that they are taking a class about running for public office, you can imagine that they might be a little interested in politics and they might have some strong opinions on the issues of the day. We make it a point of saying that this class isn't the place to have those discussions, because I'm sure that we could go off in 1,000 different directions debating all the various different aspects of what's wrong with our state, our city, or our country. So we try to leave those conversations for before and after the fact. And then just the last thing that I'll mention is I talked about the elected officials who come in. We also have fantastic, I guess, call them operatives or advisors, like Joe works with candidates all the time. Michael has advised candidates in the past, especially at the beginning of the campaign process. So, you know, it's not just me up there telling you how to do this. We have legitimate experts, not just fake experts, who come in and talk to the class about this stuff. So. It's a great program. Otherwise, I don't think I'd be doing it. And like I said, it's great to hear our alums legitimately got some good information out of it. So, in closing, if you live in Geddes, vote for David. If you live in Lysander, vote for Lisa.
Thank you. So, we'll take that.
So we'll do questions, I guess, right?
Thank you very much. I know we'll have some. I want to. Thank David for mentioning that he is an alum also of the Citizens Academy, which is a joint program of Focus Greater Syracuse and University College. That's sort of a primer on local government, city government, county government, town, village, and how they all intersect, which, you know, for those of you who may not be at all interested in working on campaigns, it does give you a good basis still for being a good citizen. And then kind of even taking a step back, Leadership Greater Syracuse, and Pam Brunet, the executive director, is one of our new members, just how to be an all-round good citizen about, you know, all about the community, not just government, but all the pieces that go together. And I know there are a lot of LGS alum here, which speaks well for LGS and us. And oh, John has the first question.
Actually, it's a very simple question, but what do you tell possible candidates about the amount of time they're going to spend in these part-time jobs?
I think that the elected officials who would come in to talk to the class, tell them it's a lot. You know, even in a part-time job, like something like a school board or a village mayor, I think the people who do those jobs spend a lot of time doing it. You know, it's no joke. You know, you got to be available constantly, I think.
Yes.
We try not to sugarcoat it.
Right.
And I don't know,
Yeah. Did
you feel as though, you guys feel as though as there was any sugarcoating?
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
We try to give people an accurate, depiction of not only what the campaign is like, but also, yeah, once if you're lucky enough to win, it's definitely a lot of work. And you got to really... that's why, you know, politicians are usually right up there with journalists and lawyers as far as most hated professions. I have nothing but respect for anyone who does it, whether I agree with them politically or not, because you're putting yourself out there in an extremely exposed way, and it takes a lot of guts and a lot of passion and a lot of commitment to do it. So I'll never say anything bad personally about someone who's running for office. Policy-wise, that's a different matter.
Good morning. I, too, won't say anything bad about people running for office. I'm assuming you're nonpartisan. Obviously, you got Democrat, Republican. Everybody comes to the table. Where I'm going is, what do you do in terms of using boards of election as a resource the parties, and I don't mean just a Democrat and Republican, there's six recognized parties or whatever, to have them come in and give the cross-section of why they do what they do in terms of the process?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the session on getting on the ballot is pretty much all of the folks you just mentioned are the speakers for that session. It's the Board of Elections folks come in, the party. I think we generally have used in the past either the city or the county level chairs of the parties come in to talk about their own internal party processes for how they groom candidates and select candidates and, you know, sort of advance people from maybe being a committee member to being a candidate for something. And then the Board of Elections folks come in and talk about the technical aspects of it. What do you have to do to actually get your name on the line in the fall? So yes, absolutely. We try to keep policy and political debates out of the course, but absolutely we realize that the parties are a key cog in this process. Not the only way to get on the ballot. I should mm-hmm. stress that the parties are a part of this, but ask Howie Hawkins. There are other ways to get on the ballot. You know, there are other paths you can take to get there. So we try to cover both of those things, going through the party system and also working outside of it. But yes, absolutely, the parties are a part of this. Yep.
I understand why if someone you know, was interested in running for office or working on a campaign or just knowing the ins and outs, they want to take part in the political leadership. But do you talk about how do you get people there to begin with? You know, David mentioned Svante Myrick's story. Dan Cohen is here. He's a college student. He's announced that he's going to run for council. So we kind of know their, you know, individual stories. But again, how do we get more people into the pipeline? Is that something that you talk about?
That's something we talk about as an advisory committee in terms of how do we get people into the course. You know, we might be a little biased, but we think that we can serve as a pretty effective pipeline for getting candidates out there. So absolutely, recruitment and where do we find these people is a part of what we talk about as a committee. And really, it's just the efforts of our committee members, which I might add is all composed of volunteers. None of us are making any money off of this. We just do it because we believe in it.
Hey, Kevin, don't forget, it's also every graduating class.
Right.
Right.
I've been out there and I'm in groups that are business groups, I'm in groups that are networking groups, I'm in groups that are community groups, and when I find somebody who has a passion for helping their community, I make sure that they're aware that this group exists mm-hmm. because generally they also don't have the idea how to get involved right. and they may never have heard of you, but once they do, it's wonderful.
Great point.
So we had our last class session for this year's PLI last night. We have our kind of wrap-up networking session next week. So once that class is done, that'll be, I'm pretty sure that's over 100 or close to 100 people that have been through the program. So, you know, there's 100 people out there like David spreading the word as well, which we are eternally grateful for.
And it almost, David's comment, I think, lends itself to the level of seriousness. The first year, the people we had were, they were interested, they weren't exactly sure, or they were already part of a process. And then it got more serious. And I was saying that the group that I spent time with this year, it was about 21, was it 21 people?
22. Something like that, yeah.
And as I say, probably 35% or more were minority. People were serious about what they were going to do. Yeah. I mean, they weren't there just to try and find out. They were real serious.
Somebody's already on the line. Somebody's yeah. on the ballot already, I yep. know for sure.
So, and I think that's a yeah. testament to right. what you guys are doing in terms of how you promote it.
When we're with a party, you know, we're on committees, and I've tried to recruit people in our committees. In fact, I have a 21-year-old who wants to run for office in November, and unfortunately he couldn't attend the class, but he can attend it the next session. And a lot of people are telling him that he's too young, and I said, don't let age define it. Ronald Reagan was how old? People said he was too old to be a president, or John F. Kennedy was too young, and I was talking about Cervantes yesterday, how he got involved at 20. So I'm just trying to encourage, and we were talking about trying to encourage younger people and our college student that's here to get involved, and we need to get more people, younger people, not that we're old, to get involved and become candidates. So, and as Mr. Reed said, that I think we just, the groups we visit or the associations we're in, we just constantly talk about PLA and say, you have to go to this, you have to take this course.
And we see that reflected in the classes as well. Michael mentioned some of the racial diversity that we have, which is really great this year, but has been there from the beginning to some degree, I think. We also have diversity of ages. I mean, we get, you know, people in their 20s and 30s. We get people in their 60s and 70s, and you need every different perspective when it comes to this kind of thing.
For all of my kidding, and Kevin and I kid each other all the time about the news media, and it's just part of what we do. But I got to say that the news media in Central New York has been very, very supportive, mm-hmm. and we need to do more. We just need to talk to them more and explain more. When Jim Reith had his show, I mean, we were on that show probably 6-8 times. Mm-hmm. WCNY-TV, Bridge Street, I mean, YNN. Yeah. We need to do more of it.
Absolutely.
We have a number of current and veteran office holders here, so I don't normally encourage comments versus questions, but if any of you have any comments also. Joan.
I have a question. Often, I think what you're doing is fabulous. I think it draws a lot of interested people into the process that may not have felt that they could do it on their own. So the education you're providing, I think, is wonderful. That said, often once a campaign starts, something is revealed about the candidate that overshadows the candidacy and embarrasses everyone involved with the campaign, and you either go forward or you withdraw, however you want to handle it. So my question to you is, do you do any vetting of these people who come to you and need your help? And do you suggest to them that perhaps they ought to look into their own backgrounds to make sure that there's nothing that's going to come forward that would embarrass them and discourage the public from thinking that the process is a fair one?
We don't vet the applicants like that. It's not something that we've ever really talked about as an advisory committee, but I would say my own personal opinion on that is that it's really not our place to decide who's going to run. It's not our place to help those people make the decision. We're trying to give people the tools to make those decisions on their own. And part of this class is very much, how do you make that decision about whether I really want to do this? So we're not approaching this with the idea that everyone who comes in has already made up their mind for sure about what they're going to do with this. Part of this is, how do you get to that point where I can say, yes, I'm going to do this, or no, I'm not?
Yeah, Joan, the only thing I'd add to that is my answer to your question would be no and yes. And the no is, no, we don't vet anybody. But yes, we do talk to them about needing Absolutely. To take a look at where they are. In fact, just a couple of weeks ago, we had this conversation in our class, because in this day and age, and it's interesting, just think back just 4 years.
Totally different.
Just 4 years. Now in the class on messaging and in working with the media, we're talking about Twitter, we're talking about Facebook, we're talking about, I mean, I teach at Syracuse University, and I am forever telling graduating 22-year-olds, you need to take a good look at your Facebook page, because if you're showing that you're doing keg stands at a frat party on Ostrom, you better rethink what's out there. Well, we have the same conversation with potential candidates, and they're all over it. They're interested in it, and we don't get into the nitty-gritty of damage control per se. We do talk about messaging and how to handle messaging, but we don't necessarily try and, you know, and obviously we're not going to drag anybody's skeletons out in the middle of a class anyway, because mine would have to be first, so I'm not going to let that happen.
I would just add that 55-year-olds can screw up on social media just as much as 22-year-olds.
It's just faster. We just do it faster.
Yeah. I hope that answered the question a little bit, because it's a good point.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Are there, when you have people come in, as you say, you focus on local races, but you know, you've got everything from school boards, you know, city and suburban and village, city, town, county. are there different messages or different parts of the message for people depending at what jurisdiction they're running? How do you handle that?
I don't think so. I think it's really about giving them the capability to develop that themselves. I mean, of course, the issues for someone running in the city versus someone running in a county or in a town are going to be different. The course is all about helping them to analyze those issues, figure out what they are, and then figure out how to run on them, message them, and communicate them.
Okay. Any other questions, comments? Anybody want to sign up for next year? Oh, Dan. Okay. We'll see what Dan wants us to sign up. No. Maybe. Do you have a crash course?
Hello. So I'm Dan Cowan. If you guys didn't know already, the one who's running for council at large. And I had a question about sort of the campaign process and using that as a vehicle for change. You know, a lot of us, when we're running for an office, we're running for an office because we're trying to implement change in our city or in our locality. But how can we even use our campaign to really jumpstart those things and really push the city forward in kind of pursuing different visions and initiatives?
I think that's part of the root of what our program is all about. Right. Because as Michael said, we have people to come in to speak. We have people taking the class who have run successfully and unsuccessfully, or who have held office and then lost their seats. But I think that your point is what we're trying to accomplish, that right. If you have the debate, just having the debate by itself is valuable, because then you expose, you know, your wider public to ideas that they might not have considered before.
No, I was shaking my head with everything you were saying. I agree.
I'll add a comment. The third party system in the U.S. isn't well established yet. But when you look to Europe, you find a spectrum that is covered by slices of parties rather than, as we have, two parties that have to sort of cover everything. I think the point you're making is that many times it's the third party candidate who's out there, not with a legitimate chance of winning, although it does happen, but with a legitimate chance of influencing the debate and therefore the policy. Because when those two primary party people are forced to recognize that there's actually a third way of looking at a problem, they've also got to shift their answer and their approach towards it. Mm-hmm. So running for office is sometimes not so much about winning as it is influencing the discussion.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm very excited to hear about the program that you offer, and at the same time disappointed that it's ending right when I'm finding out about it.
Well, just for this year. We'll be back.
Well, I say that because I'm chair of a political party out in Clay, and I have some folks that are just running or thinking about running for the first time. And right now, they have to go here, there, and everywhere to find the expertise, as I did when I ran, to get enough information to figure out what to do and when. Is there any possibility you would offer it more often? Is there anything from the class that could be sold or shared to folks? Because we're at the beginning of the candidate process and the whole election process for this year. So is there anything we could get from you, books or something? Because I'd love to give a hand to some of these new folks who've never been through the process so that they could benefit from your expertise.
We have talked about having it more often. I think it depends on, a lot of it depends on how much interest we see in the registrations every year. So far, the once a year seems to be enough. I mean, we don't want to saturate the market per se with campaign training. We want to make sure we have a good sized class every year when we do it. It's something we've talked about. As far as the materials go, I don't think that's something we've ever really talked about, but it's certainly something that we could. And again, I doubt that we would sell it.
Don't speak too soon.
So, yeah. But yeah, I'll talk to you afterward and give you my card, and yeah, we'll figure it out.
Early in your remarks, you mentioned that when you run for office, you put yourself out there and you expose yourself and your background, and Joan was commenting on that. Are you aware of the fact that the League of Women Voters has sponsored a Fair Campaign Practices Committee
and the committee is made up of leaders in our community, as a way for candidates to address unfair campaign practices, perhaps some unfair things that have been, allegations that have been mentioned about them, or the way their opponents have conducted themselves, information they provided, false information perhaps during the course of a campaign. Just want to make sure that, that candidates running for office are aware that that is out there.
Yeah, sounds like a great resource. I was not aware of that.
No, I was not.
That sounds like a great resource.
I was aware of it, and I know that in at least one of the sessions we've mentioned to connect with the League of Women Voters. But we'll emphasize that even more. Appreciate you bringing that up.
They could be speakers.
Speaking of voters, if I could just turn the perspective a little bit, we talk about running as if we're the important part of this. It's the voting process that's really important, and I was reminded of that last election day when I spent the evening at the Board of Elections reviewing applications by individuals who were turned away from their polls. They had gone to vote, they were denied the right to vote, they came down, we had a judge in the place, and for hours and hours, individuals stood in line to get a special permit issued, in effect, to go back to their polling place. So individuals from all over Onondaga County were taking the time to drive down, and particularly one young man I remember from Baldwinsville, drove in, had to stand in line, do the process, meet with the judge, get the approval. Was the faces of those individuals after they got that authorization to go back out and vote was phenomenal. And do you imagine they were probably driving back to find that they could vote effectively in contested races in only about 50 or 60% of those races that they had the right to vote on. The democracy element is so critical. I met with Sudanese individuals. 90% of them are U.S. citizens, and I was amazed. And they said, David, when we found out that all we had to do was become citizens and we had the right to vote, we had the right to influence what was going on, it was something that was denied to us for the 14 years we lived in the refugee camp. It was something that was denied to us because we weren't the right religion in our own country. We were going to take advantage of it. And when you hear that kind of thing, it's no longer about the person in the position, it's about the process. And I love that.
Thanks, David. I was at the naturalization ceremony last week in the county courthouse and went as a League of Women Voters member with a stack of voter registration forms and felt the same thing. You know, it was very moving. So that reminds me that I have some left over, so I'll bring them next week and I'll pass them out. So if any of you have moved or you know other people, you can all be emissaries with those register to vote forms. So if that's it, I know there are people who want to speak to you individually now. I will thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Kevin, Michael, David, Lisa, thank you.
Thank you.